Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, let's get to it. We have Colin Cowherd just tweeted out that he is being told that former Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava is heading to UCLA. Family still claims it's not about the money. It's about the Vols football offense. And so we're going to bring on right now former University of Tennessee quarterback, host of the Eric Ainge Show, and Glencoe High School alum. Eric Ainge joining us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing a lot better than Vols fans have been on social media lately. I can tell you that much.
Dude, the whole thing is crazy. Yeah, okay. Can I address what you just said about
yes.
Colin Cowherd?
Yeah.
Okay, the latest in Nico Gate, right? Okay, he's going to go to UCLA. First off, that's a train wreck. His younger brother Madden was going to go there, and on signing day, flipped to Arkansas, took their best receiver, and went to Arkansas. So I guess it's an upgrade if they get Nico over Madden, because Madden's not any good. But the whole thing you just said, it's not about the money. It's about the Vols offense. Dude, this whole NIL thing, and you guys can address this too. I like that the players get paid. Get some money. Make some money. You provide a ton of value. Look at how much those skyboxes go for in Autzen and the Neyland Stadium and all that. That's fine. It's about the power. Mm-hmm. The if you don't, then I will this. If you don't change a play caller, if you don't recruit this player, then I will. These players and some of their parents, the crazy ones, they think they invented football. They know more than all these coaches. And it ends up, you end up with situations like this. Big Nick Iamaliava he coached some Pop Warner and some 7-on-7 when Nico wore pajamas, so he thinks he knows more than Josh Heupel. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's the big thing that's kind of come out of this, is that we've had the fears of LeVar Ball and, Caleb Williams' dad and these dads that are overpowering. And there's been a lot of fear mongering about, their involvement with their sons. But those guys, we've kind of all seen that it actually is in the best interest of what their kids are eventually going to do. This one seems a little bit different in that Nico's dad is really just meddling for the sake of meddling, and it doesn't have his son's best interest in mind.
That's the problem, though. He thinks it does.
Right.
I mean, he thinks he's doing the right thing. You need to – but this goes back to in the middle of last season and being here in Knoxville, I know all and see all and hear all from everybody. Half of it's true and half of it's not, but I hear it all. And it was the if you don't fix the tackle play and the offensive line play, I'm shopping Nico at the end of the year. Like, hold on. How about if Nico gets the ball out of his hand and learns how to read a defense a little bit better, then he won't take so many sacks and those guys will look a little bit better. If you don't fix the offense, I'm shopping Nico at the end of the year. I've never seen a play caller get guys open downfield more than Josh Heupel. Even last year, Nico missed him all year. Yeah. Milton the year before missed him. Hendon Hooker didn't miss him. And he was about to be a Heisman finalist. If you just hit the open ones with Josh Heupel, it's amazing what your stats are. They hosted no blame. They just blame everyone. We've all been around athletes like that and families where it's always ever someone else's fault and they've never done anything wrong and their boy's perfect. And we were living that here in Knoxville. Now we're not.
Eric, how do you obviously you've got deep ties to not just university, but as a quarterback for that program, and you played in huge games there, and you know kind of what it is to be in that spot, and even as different a landscape as it is now, how do you try to impart on not just Nico, but on literally any quarterback that comes through there, that hey, if you're successful here, you're pretty likely to go on to the next level, and maybe learning to develop here is probably a little bit better than going to a program like UCLA that doesn't have their stuff together, or the rumors were like a Tulane or a program that is significantly further behind Tennessee, and not just profile, but a development pipeline to get to the next level.
If you were going to drop a program for a quarterback going into a draft year, to have some studs to throw to and a bunch of good players around him with an offensive play caller who can draw him up in the dirt and scheme guys open is good or better than anyone, him and Lane Kiffin and maybe a couple others in all of college football. This is one of the schools and coaching staffs you would pick. Yeah. You would, and he was here making $2 million. Then he made 2.4 because him and his family said, we're not going to play in the bowl game unless we renegotiate. And they got a little bit more money. And here's how this works. And I don't know how it is at Oregon and different places, but here, there was a few power players here that paid almost all of Nico's money. And they were just like all of us fans going, I mean, he's good. He's fine. But, the three of us are paying $2 million, $1.8 million a year for this guy.
Yeah.
We're like, and that gets, like an investment, right? We all have them and we all spend money. Like, if you're not getting what you think you ought to get for it, so then what? You call those same guys back and say, Nico's not going to play if we don't pay him more money. Maybe. And they budge a little. And then you go back 2 days before the orange and white game and say, hey, actually 2.4 is not enough. I mean, at some point, Heupel and the power players here are like, no. No, just go anywhere else and go to UCLA and play for Deshaun Foster in front of 1,200 fans and travel across the country and get your butt kicked. Good luck.
I'm happy that it was a program like Tennessee, though, that took the stand and did it because of, the stature of the program, the fact that it's not a collective that is a mess and in tatters and has had the issues of not being able to pay guys. We are going to just take a stand because this isn't the right one. You have gone through this, Eric, in Knoxville, where it means a lot. You guys have four rivals, right? You have Florida, Georgia, Bama, and then Vandy. Last year, Nico beat three of those four rivals. Can you put that into perspective for our listeners of like what that means to the fan base moving forward, that you get that in last year, you go to the college football playoff and kind of what he's giving up? Because it means a whole heck of a lot to be able to beat three of those four in 1 year.
No, it's everything. I mean, Florida, Alabama, or Georgia is a game we play where we just stereotype and make fun of news stories from those states. I mean, we hate them, and he beat them. Now, you can go back and look at that and say he did throw four touchdowns against Vanderbilt. He threw none against Georgia, one against Bama, none against Florida. Nico didn't get a lot of the credit around here, and I guess that was part of the problem with some of the narcissists in his family. What, defense and run game? Won football games for us here last year. I actually loved Heupel for it. I was like, he had stats guys that were never won a game where he scores less than 30 points. Can't win on the road and all those kind of things. And I thought he took a huge step as a head coach here. You've watched Lanning do the same thing at Oregon, just doing things. And hey, you know what? That's not necessarily on brand for him, but that's what football coaches that win at a high level every year and compete for championships do. Hey, I got a bunch of studs on defense and a couple running backs no one could tackle. Why don't we lean on that and put some kid gloves on the freshman quarterback? But instead he just, I don't know. Nico being gone, guys, we are not a more talented team without him. I'm not going to say that. He's gone. I'm glad. No, I wish he never would have got to that, but I think that was inevitable and it'll be that way as long as his family's in charge. We're not as talented, but maybe we have a better football team.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Kind of on that note, when Josh Pate yesterday said something along the lines of he wants what's best for college football, and he thinks that there's not enough guardrails, and there's just, somebody has to come in and do something. My counter to that is this is the system working, in that it's not just at Tennessee. You had Mario Cristobal come out and say, if you want to renegotiate, you're not going to be here kind of a situation. This feels like this is the system working, as ugly as it is. The major outliers, the things that everybody is kind of scared of, and it's not good for Tennessee, like you just said. It puts you at a talent deficit. But do you look at this and this is the system working in a sense?
No, I mean, I think – can you repeat the last part of the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Like, does this feel like – there's this push to put a lot of guardrails around college sports and where money is at. But this feels like this is without the guardrails, this is the system working because everybody's basically telling him to, you know, kick rocks.
You know, I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time, but it's we need a CBA. Well, you can't. They're not employees. Mm-hmm. We need to make them employees. Well, what a nightmare. You know, like the whole thing, like maybe the market recorrection needed was a school like Tennessee with a head coach like Josh Heupel and a head coach like Dan Lanning to say, hey, dude, you know, this is going on. Yeah, that's crazy, right? I'm out. You know, all these other coaches go, no, we're not doing that. And make a stand not to go pay him $4 million and bring him in because they're desperate. Because that's what they think. They think that these players think that if they put their name in the portal, even though they have a great situation with everything right in front of them, you know, you have your value out of high school, your value as a current roster player, wherever you are, and then your value when you're in the portal. And usually the portal value is higher because there's someone desperate to pay you a little more. And we're seeing now, hey, that's not maybe the case. Maybe your situation is good. Maybe you don't have to, you know, go the employee route. You just have to have the big dogs in college football like Dan and Josh and all the big guys around to say, no, we're not doing that. Sorry, dude.
Where does Tennessee go from here? Was it Jake Merklinger is the backup and then George McIntyre, a true freshman? What does that quarterback room look like? And are they going to be trying to pull someone out of the portal in the next week or so?
Well, first off, boys, I think it'd be hilarious if they went and paid somebody $4 million to come in and be the quarterback.
Yes, it would.
Let's just do that. I mean, that'd be funny. But it has to be someone with the charisma, moxie, humility, hardworking, and physical ability to come in and be that guy here. Because you're kind of we have a weird thing, you know. It's kind of like the high school, like, you know, the old Dusty Hera in high school, Eric Gaines at Glencoe High School. We can treat it like that, where it's like, hey, you guys are enough. You know, we'll ride with whoever we got at quarterback. We're a good football team. Let's go. You have a chance to, like, maybe be that kind of corny, make a Netflix series out of it someday approach to football here. But if you go pay a big quarterback to come in, that's probably smarter. I don't know how good either one of these guys will be. But you know what? As a fan and an alum and a fellow UT quarterback, I'm willing to find out. Find out how good they are. But if you can, yeah. I mean, obviously, you always want the most talented team you can. Go see what's out there.
Eric, in the age of NIL, you're intimately familiar with my co-host here. What is prime Dusty Hera getting in the NIL market?
Prime Dusty Hera is probably getting decent money because he had a heck of a quarterback.
That's right. That's right.
Your old buddy Angie might have got him a payday. But, hey, you want to hear Dusty's best life? My dad was our basketball coach in elementary school, and Dusty actually was Kobe before Kobe. He had a helicopter shot.
You're damn right. That turnaround jumper.
Facing the other hoop, no clue where the hoop is. Jump, turn, and I'll be darned if he didn't hit it every once in a while.
Every once in a while is the key one. We actually brought Doug up earlier because Zach Edey, 7'4", brings the ball down so low on rebounds. And I was like, Doug Ainge would have none of that. He would say, keep those elbows high, and you got to make sure you're sending a message.
You know, and I actually think before people yelled Kobe when they shot it, they yelled Hera. Fuck it.
Except for that was for never going in. Yeah. Hey, all right, man. It's been great to catch up with you. We need to do it again soon. Life is good, though. I know there's a lot of people that are listening there just want to know what Eric is up to these days.
So Eric just got 12-year-old Fallon a sports physical because she's a little travel volleyball player. Let's and you already know Thomas Douglas, 8 months old, known as TD Ainge here in Knoxville. You already know he's with the hand size he's got. I mean, we're talking splitters, curves, fastballs. He'd be slinging it everywhere.
Little D1, baby.
Has the offer already come through? Has Heupel written the scholarship offer for him yet?
No, you know, Heupel needs to get his act together, but Tony Vitello, leading the reigning national champions, my wife Susan and I had TD over at a golf tournament. He was holding, and I said, hold him, take a picture. So he grabs me and goes, man, look at those hands. I said, that's what I'm saying.
You know he's going to be able to throw. He's going to be able to sling it. Let's go.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man.
All right, buddy. Boys. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time, man.
See you.
There he is, Eric Ainge on Nico and the Tennessee situation.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.